Pharoah Sanders. I hope you recognized that horn with Equinox. And it is from his 1987 album, O Lord, Let Me Do No Wrong. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eucrice Lead, and I wonder if you guess, or you can guess, what we're talking about today. Well, we're not talking about recipes, that's for sure. We're talking about the recipe that produced such disaster yesterday in Washington, D.C., and the fallout was immediate. We have demands now that the president be removed from office immediately. He be removed from office. That came from Chuck Schumer, who said that there is no reason for this president to remain in office, not one more day. I was wondering how the events of yesterday resonated with you, what it conjured up in your mind. What do you think is the best way out of this dilemma? And what do you think, when people have been saying, I have, and I know many other people have, about the mental issues that are clearly present with this president, and there should be no doubt, there still is a question. People are wondering, what is wrong with him? Okay. Well, you hold on to that, those of you who think that, but it is so complicated to find out what could possibly motivate a president to behave this way. Well, there are some of us who know that this is not at all unusual for the president, this bizarre behavior. But again, it brings to mind the duality with which we live in this country. Some people are given a very wide berth. Yes, they can, because they're complicated and they're complex. And as he described himself as a stable genius, we can't apply normal standards to stable geniuses. We have no experience with that kind of human being because we ourselves are not stable, and we certainly are far from geniuses. So it is hard for the regular world to understand someone of this caliber. So he needs a lot of space and understanding. Hogwash. Hogwash. But it's about you today and how you're reacting, still reacting, to the events in the nation's capital yesterday, featuring marauders instigated by none other than the President of the United States to behave in a raucous manner, illegal manner, unlawful manner, to cause great damage. By the way, I think that should come out of Trump's pocket. Let him do the repairs at his own expense. That should not be a cost that the public should assume. But that's what we're talking about today. So without using any more time, I imagine the following. I imagine that you know what happened yesterday in the nation's capital with Trump's loyal followers descending on the nation's capital at a time when this matter of the transfer of power should have occurred as a result of a vote. on the election outcomes, especially in Georgia, where two Democrats clinched seats that now changes the proportion of power in Congress. And it now gives the president, the incoming president, a majority of support in Congress. It also challenges the leadership that is standing. And it turns the page on the political power in the South, but in the nation as a whole, because now the incoming president would be imbued with even more power to do things. All right. So let me not belabor the point. I'm imagining that you followed some portion of the story and you have questions about it, you've thought about it, you have opinions about it. So let's get to that at 888-874-4888. Bill from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice. Happy New Year to everyone in the listening audience. Hope you're all well. Well, what comes to mind is clear shock and disgust. I actually grew up in that very building as a teenager, 14 years old, when I was trying to become a congressional page, and I ended up working in Senator Edward M. Kennedy's office throughout my high school years. So I know those halls of Congress very well. And even younger than that, I would be taken to the Capitol with my family in the summers in Washington, D.C., and watch the bats fly around the statue on top of the Capitol. Having said that, it's the chickens coming home to roost. We've said that before. We've seen all of the signals and signs, and you throughout have in a very cogent and diligent way, told us that that this was a very unstable person who was a very dangerous person to the country. And so when I saw the mobs storming the Capitol, all I could think of was in Berlin in the 1930s before the war, where Hitler himself roused his minions to go and take over the Reichstag in Berlin. And so I had sort of visions of that as well. So what's called for? What's called for is Trump's immediate removal from office and prosecution, as well as all those who participated in this event, in this insurrection. It was not a protest. It was an insurrection. And so those are some of my thoughts.
Continue. I'm listening to you.
Yes. Oh, okay. So part of the solution, if there is one, it's going to be a long one, but immediately is for Trump to resign from office or to be removed from office. There is no comeback from this. There is no excuse. And it is now imperative that the Congress come together and bring this to task. I mean, in any future that Trump thinks he may have, no matter what his communiques might say in terms of a future in American politics, are clearly trashed and out the window. This is a tyrant. This is a fascist white nationalist dictator, and he has no place in being a part of running this country.
All right. What do you think? Is there something that conjures up in your mind a comparison of how yesterday's craziness was treated as opposed to another situation that got an entirely different treatment?
Absolutely, and incredibly shocking. There was no resistance whatsoever to the siege and takeover of the U.S. Capitol by the law enforcement that was there. I was shocked that how the police forces were, they played pity-pat with the insurrectionists. I saw no strong resistance as we've seen in recent months with Black Lives Matters, who have carried out peaceful protests in many parts of this country. And it was clearly, it was shocking. It was unbelievable that this mob, you know, could just run through the law enforcement that was there. And also, I think very significantly, and there should definitely be an investigation, I'm sure there will, why weren't there adequate forces there to protect and defend the Capitol? The mayor of Washington had requested the National Guard. I heard today that that request was still pending at the Pentagon, and it was actually Vice President Pence who called out the National Guard and not Trump himself.
Uh-huh. Very significant and astute observations. Thank you so much, Bill, for getting us started and on the right
Thank you.
Track today. Thank you. George from Westchester, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing?
Okay, George, how are you?
All right. I just had one thing. This is a mindset of a lot of people in America. And the reason he didn't see anybody really dealing with that, because they're looking at each other. This is a racial thing, and they're looking at people who might have some sympathy to the downtrodden. They looking at it in a very different. So that's a mindset. The thing in Tennessee, that was a mindset when somebody comes and gives you written stuff that something that somebody's dealing with a dynamite or whatever, and you say he wasn't on our radar. You know, so it's a mindset. There's a mindset in Georgia. There's a mindset in Mississippi. There's a mindset in Alabama. Don't think that they're going to really accept certain things, because they're not. They're still dealing with the 1812.
So what was the mindset in Washington, D.C., according
to the same thing. Washington isn't it. A lot of them people in the Senate, they got the same mindset. It's just the first time they've ever been invaded. You know, that's all. Take care.
All right. No, don't go yet, because I want you to get a little deeper into this, because I'm not sure I'm getting your point about the mindset and how it resulted in this attack yesterday.
The economy and every other thing. A lot of people think that they're not going to get certain things, or they're losing things. That is in the society right now. These people couldn't even give up $2,000, but they're giving $2,000 up in Canada. I mean, we're losing jobs all the way around. Everything has been sold out of this country, you know. So that's what I mean. Is a mindset. Maybe I'm not explaining it good enough, but that's how I look at it. And I have as a person of color, I have to have my focus when I walk down the street. That don't mean everybody's my enemy, but I have to be focused on people who are so-called in authority.
Well, thank you, George. Thanks for your contribution today. I appreciate it. Bill, I spoke to Bill already. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay, good afternoon.
Okay. We got to look at this thing.
And according to you, what is the explanation for yesterday?
According to me, we've got to look at this thing in context. We're being manipulated. I worked, as I said, I was a member of the military for 5 years. I work with the military police. I've been to demonstrations in Washington. They had full knowledge that something like this was going to happen. And there is a plan to lock down Washington when demonstrations, when peaceful or potentially violent demonstrations are conducted. There's a plan with the Washington police. There's a plan with the Capitol Police. There's a plan with the National Guard. This plan was not implemented, number one. The halls of government were left open to demonstrate fear to the people in this country. And we got to understand that Trump is a lunatic. I don't argue with that. I know that he's crazy. That's been established. But we all knew this. Everyone knew this. And even senators that were in the Congress had their staff stay home, certain senators, because they knew this was potential to happen. So this is a setup, a manipulation and a setup, my opinion. Number one. Number two, Ted Cruz, the 10 senators that kept this fantasy and gave it fuel and fueled the fire for these people, they should be held up and convicted of crimes. Four people died behind this nonsense, and it was fomented by the facilitators of this government, specifically the Republicans, and specifically even to have this thing brought up as a debate. Number two. Number three, we've got to look at the future now. How hard is it going to be to exercise your right to protest in Washington, D.C., which has been a keynote thing in protesting, to bring your grievances to the nation's capital? There's going to be new laws implemented. There's going to be new controls implemented. And we're going to lose freedoms based on the emotional reaction of this setup. We're being played. They're using fear to manipulate us. It's a classical psychological operation. The military has used it. I've seen it done and participated in some of it, unfortunately, when I was in service of this country. And this is the classical thing. Use fear and emotion to manipulate the populace. That's what's going on. You won't even be able to confront Joe Biden or Kamala Harris on anything that they do because of the drama that this man was allowed to perpetrate.
All right. But let's say we agree that Trump figures largely in this whole equation. What should happen to him?
Well, I mean, Trump should be put in jail. He should have been put in jail a long time ago. This was the death knell to get him out of the grand old Republican Party. I honestly believe the GOP set this thing up. They left Washington, D.C. wide open to these maniacs. I mean, we've seen how these Trump supporters have operated for the past 5 years. We've seen what happened in Charlotte. We've seen what happened across the country. They knew that this, the potential of this to become violent and out of control existed, and they left Washington open to get to have events to elicit a response. Now this knocks Trump out of the box, so the grand old party can reestablish itself. Trump should be put in jail, but this definitely will not come out of the box for future political aspirations. And the second thing, a new establishment of control is going to be implemented in Washington. You won't be able to exercise your rights on the Great Lawn anymore. You won't be able to get close to the Capitol building. They're going to implement controls. This is all a game. It's all a psychological game to keep the status quo and to keep the people at bay. This country has interfered in elections around the world. Around the world. The powers that be, the corporate masters say, go ahead, we can interfere wherever we want to fear. Venezuela, Iran, Iraq. It's a case of chickens coming home to roost, but at its base, to me, it's a setup. There was no way Washington should have been allowed to be vulnerable that way. It never has happened before. The only time it ever happened is in the war of 1812, and that was the British, and the country was at war. They knew what was going to happen, and they allowed it to happen to elicit a specific response, and that's what they get.
All right. Wow. That's quite a bit to digest, but it is worth digesting. Thank you so much for contributing today. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Good afternoon to you.
You know, Eutrice, what we witnessed yesterday was the intersection of a malignant narcissist and the failed hopes and dreams of a white high school educated underclass who believed the narrative that narcissist, that their status is due to black and brown people. Black Lives Matter protested the failure of a just society last summer and was met with an army of police in riot gear, tear gas, bullets, and death. No one who has been watching the news for the last 4 years, from Charlottesville, from storming the Michigan State Capitol with arms, with visible arms, into a state capitol, could Portland. I mean, what has been happening across this country by white militia for the last 4 years? No one in their right mind could not have predicted yesterday, not unless they had been living in denial. Could you imagine Black Lives Matter, number one, breaching the perimeter of the Capitol? Okay, so they breached the perimeter. Can you imagine them storming the steps, getting through the door with guns? There would have been a pool of blood from the Capitol steps streaming all the way down to the streets of Washington, D.C. However, this malignant narcissist was not alone in this conflagration. He had willing accomplices who should be held accountable, along with this narcissistic maniac. You know, America, yesterday, unfortunately, the idea, the false idea that America is an aspiration, that was destroyed yesterday. Destroyed. Never again can we promote ourselves as the leader of a free democracy. Never again. Never. So until America honestly addresses the false premise, the foundation that this country was based on, the principle of white superiority and black inferiority, until America honestly addresses this false premise, this country remains irretrievably broken. And I don't have anything more to say.
Well, I have a question. I hope you have more to say. What should happen now to Trump?
I don't care if he has a day left in office. The 25th Amendment needs to be enforced. I don't care if he has hours left. There is nothing else for them to do but to remove him from office. And all of those co-conspirators who participated in this. But he fanned the flames. They just allowed him to light the match.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia, for your contribution today. Thank you so much. Lloyd from Queens, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing? I'm a big fan of yours. My family, we love you.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely the president, mental capacity for being president is definitely in question. And I guess from yesterday, it's no doubt he's not fit for the office. But one thing I can say, that this president is kind of like pulling back the veil of this country as a whole, that we, you know, on an international level, we can't tell other countries or put sanctions or embargoes because we're not happy with the outcome of your elections. We can't, you know, it's like Ed said from Jamaica, the chicken's coming home to roost, you know. And also another element is how they was able to breach the Capitol so easily. It goes to show you that how much the police and the police force in this country is complicit with the white supremacists and the extremists, and how they can just do what they did and get away with it. I think I heard on one report it was only 55 arrests, and during the rebellion in the summer, it was over 1,000 arrests, you know? So it's definitely a double standard there, you know? But this president, I do agree, this president should be impeached, censored, taken out of office, given the bill to repair the Capitol. So, yeah, it's just a mess. It's a mess.
How do you feel as an American today?
I'm not proud to be an American, but this I can't get with this. You know, I'm an American, so I'm better than everybody else. I never can get with that American exceptionalism. But I just feel it's just the chickens coming home to roost. You know, the veil is being pulled over. The veil is being pulled back. You know. That's how I feel about it. You know, it's just, you know, we cannot stand in judgment of other countries about their elections. We can't do it. The things that we did to Venezuela was despicable, you know, and that's what's happening here. It's just evidence on what happened yesterday. You know, it's a shame. I thought I would never see nothing like that in my lifetime, but you know, it's crazy. It's like one we saw one. One video where the protesters or the riot, whatever you want to call them, it seems like the police was escorting them in, you know, like they was tourists or something. It was crazy, you know. And to me, you cannot convince me that the Capitol Police was complicit on. I don't have proof, but it seems like and it looked like they was complicit on what went on yesterday. And, you know, as a black man, you know, we've been saying that for a long time, that the law enforcement has been infiltrated by the white supremacists and these extremist groups, you know. So that's how I feel.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us. Thanks so much for calling in today. All righty. Very strong feelings that we are seeing today. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Okay, how's about you?
Going okay, hanging in there. You know, and this has been, it seems like every caller that you had today, I had the same thought of the Malcolm X quote, the chickens coming home to roost. And that's
okay.
That is exactly what happens. And, you know, You got Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, you know, arguing on the floor, talking about, well, you know, we have to preserve democracy. No. You sit down, because they were complicit in all of this for 4 years. And now all of a sudden your Frankenstein creation that has come to life is coming to attack you. Now all of a sudden you want to talk about, you know, preserving democracy. No, you need to confront the problem that you supported. So, in essence, I really just, you know, thought that this was kind of, for me, and I'm going to put it in theological sense, it was divine intervention. You created this, so now you have to confront it. And I would say that majority of the Congress, who basically all they did was lip service, either lip service to Trump or supported Trump, they were part of this whole thing. So, you know what, for me, you know, if you want to support white nationalism, who is very violent, then this is what you're going to have to deal with. So, in essence, to me, I kind of felt like, well, you know what, 73 million people voted for white nationalism. So now what are we going to do with that? You know, And yesterday, the group that was there, that was small to the comparison of the people who support Trump. We're talking about 73 million people who voted for white nationalism. So now, my thing is this: what's the next event that's going to happen? Because I feel like you and many of the other people on the show have kind of predicted this, not in the sense of a siege in Washington. But we kind of knew that, you know, white extremists were going to do something crazy.
Well, I saw this going all the way back to the Central Park issue, where Trump was urging the death penalty for people who had not even been tried. They had not had their day in court. GOP decided they're guilty and the death penalty should apply. Somewhere in all of that was an attempt, a blatant attempt, in my opinion, by Trump to galvanize support and legitimize his politics as, you know, an ultra-right-wing person under the guise that he was really a law and order person. It didn't turn out that way, but that, in my view, was his intention to begin this process of taking the country to an extreme right political perspective, and it might have been the beginning of a test to see where he should situate his own politics, you know, and in the coming months and years as he contemplates a political career. Now, that didn't fly in New York City because all said and done, New Yorkers are accustomed to having people just pop up, and it's really a campaign to test the waters, to see how far can I go with this? Will people accept this kind of a theory or that kind of approach and then build on that? But I think since those days, he was trying to instill in the minds of people that it is okay to be extremely, as he would say, conservative. That's not conservative, it was downright racist and illegal for him to suggest that they were guilty even before they were put on trial. So he has been testing the waters for quite some time, but I wondered from your perspective yesterday, what emerges for you as one of the most significant developments yesterday?
Repeat that. I couldn't hear you.
What to you emerges as one of the most significant developments within all that has happened yesterday?
One of the most significant developments of yesterday. I would say that the most significant thing from yesterday was, and I will probably take some of what the previous caller said, the gathering of all of these people in one place with no security, well, or little security, in regards to protecting, you know, government property and government buildings. I think Ed, you know, just basically said it about, you know, the security level of it, you know, being very low. And I can specifically remember when I went to the Million Man March back in 1995, there was security and there was, you know, there was Secret Service everywhere. And we didn't go there to take over the Capitol. We just went there to just kind of demonstrate. But considering I wasn't there yesterday, but I'm assuming that there was not the top level security that should have been there when a mass of people are gathering. So I think that was the biggest development, because obviously, and your previous callers have said it before, if this was a Black Lives Matter protest, you would have felt a military presence there.
Thanks a lot. A lot that we should be pondering today and beyond today. Thank you for calling and contributing. Lou from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Lou. You're on the air.
Oh, my name is not Lou. It's Roland.
It's what?
Roland. R-O-L-A-N-D.
Roland.
Yes.
Okay, Roland.
Hey, Utrice. I remember you back when Les Brown was in New York. I was there when y'all took the picture. So that's a long time.
Yes, it was.
I was thinking, you know, I hear the echoing Malcolm out of the grave today. everybody is saying, everybody know what's going on here. And, you know, I can quote something he said, like, you don't take the case to the criminal, you take the criminal to the court. And in this case, this guy in the White House is a criminal, and everybody who's sitting around him is a criminal also, Democrats and Republican, they all won. And y'all know who's going to be the victim in this thing. We've been here long enough to know who's next. Not who's next, who is continually being the victim over and over again. So I think what we should do is organize ourselves, arm ourselves, get ready for what's next, and leave it there and quit airing our differences in public. You know, they don't tell you nothing about what's going on, but they plan all these things. They know exactly what was going on. If it was all black people, they wouldn't have gotten that close to the Congress. And if we did, we would all have been history today. There's nothing new in this country. I mean, I even quote, like they said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. They already stole us, they already kill us, and they're constantly just trying to destroy us. So this is nothing but acts of a devil. And they're all sitting in the White House, every one of them, Democrats and Republicans, all the same, no difference. That's all I got to say.
What should happen to Donald Trump right now?
He should be castrated and kicked out of the White House.
Oh, come on now. Let's be real. Let's be real. That doesn't even make sense to suggest.
Well, what do you mean? What should happen to him? I gave you my view. I can't change that. I'm not going to create a story to make it sound like
I understand, but it's not a plausible argument, is what I'm saying. I don't find it to be a plausible argument.
Well, he should be charged with inciting a riot, and any other criminal acts around that. He should be prosecuted, but we know that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because the same one who is going to prosecute him is involved with this whole act. Maybe one or two, and I can't find them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for contributing to the discussion today. Next is Jeremiah from Harlem. You're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I felt inspired to call because the previous callers were so on fire. I just had to jump in there. And, you know, everyone came from their own angles. I just wanted to point out what I was thinking for one thing. I saw some really odd footage of a security guard who was being chased back within the Capitol building. And it was basically one guy who kind of tried to grab some sort of baton kind of thing. And he wasn't going to use it because there was too many of them. And he didn't want to pull out his gun because even if he shot all of them, there was so many of them. I mean, they could have overwhelmed him. And it was just odd, you know, as it's been pointed out already today, this is a total lack of security. But it's kind of what I think when I see security theater in general, like at the airport and, you know, in every area of society. I mean, I look at City Hall right here in New York City, and not that I'm a terrorist whatsoever. I'm not a harmful person who would want to inflict harm on anybody. But I just look, considering how frequently the word terrorism is used, and I just think, you know, any maniac could just come here and just toss a grenade right through the window. And I think the main reason why worse atrocities haven't happened so far is because a very small percentage of the human population is really that nuts. I mean, most people are just not looking to do crazy things. But the day some crazy individual or group of individuals wants to do something, they could pretty well get away with it. You know, and it's interesting, paradoxically, because the whole system of power is based on security being the main justification or the main pretext for all the policies that have to be enacted. We need to keep pumping money into the military for our safety. There are these terrorists that want to kill us. But, you know, it just appears more and more that, you know, most of the security is security theater. And if anything were to actually happen, they're completely ill-prepared for anything that may occur.
What, in your view, should happen with Donald Trump right now?
You know, I mean, I'm going to take a hard, radical left stance on this and say, well, you know, I think Donald Trump should be in prison, and I think every living president should be in prison for, you know, violation of war crimes. I mean, Noam Chomsky outlined that every post-World War II American president is a war criminal by the standards of Nuremberg. I think it's literally and actually true. So, you know, I think Donald Trump is absolutely a criminal, and he should have any number of charges held against him for yesterday's incident and incidents even preceding his presidency. I mean, he's notorious for his corruption in business. So, you know, I think there should be all kinds of charges leveled against him, but I don't think we should discuss it as though he's some aberration of the system. I mean, I think, truthfully, the same thing goes for Joe Biden and any number of people. You know, I think Kamala Harris should be questioned for, you know, destroying the lives of however many black people she kept in prison for nonviolent offenses, you know, for weed possession and whatnot, while white folks turned it into a cottage industry in various states around the country. So, you know, I think a lot of these people have inflicted harm, and the clownish persona of Donald Trump makes it easy for us to deflect everything towards him. But really, there's a whole lot of criminals in that big picture that we call the American political system.
Thank you very much for your opinion today and for contributing our discussion. Thank you. Jean from New York City, you're on the air.
Thank you, Yatrice. How are you?
Okay, thanks. Okay. What are you thinking today?
Well, I remember a few years ago on Pacifica, Southern Poverty Law Center discussed, I forgot the program, had discussed the different racist groups, white supremacist groups in the U.S., and a lot of them. And it was said that a lot of the people are training, and they have guns, they're armed, and the government seemed to be hamstrung as far as dismantling these groups. And I remember on later shows, different shows, they're saying that different people like that are in different areas of the government on the down low, law enforcement. I mean, there's a lot of good people in law enforcement and government. Of course, there's a lot of corruption in government. But there's these people. And, you know, when I saw what happened yesterday, it brought all of that back to my memory. And what I recall is that these people are training. And when I saw how, just videos of how well they scaled certain parts of the Capitol building, you know, with, I didn't see any ladders, I didn't see any PPE or anything that to help them get up. I mean, you got to be in shape. You understand? To be able to pull that off. And all those people are not 20-something. They're 30s, 40s, 50s. They pulled that off. But what I recall that they believed in is they feel that black people have gotten a lot at their expense. They, through the government, through the operations of the government, state, local, federal, and they are outraged because they feel they've been left behind. Some of them probably voted for Democrats or just whoever and feel that they've been left behind. And what I recall that was really pointed for me is that they feel, as I recall, from what I heard back then, that they feel it's all right to take the government down. You got probably Tea Party people, you know, and who may feel like that, and other people, individuals, groups, and all within the down low, posing as the guard at the front gate, whoever, wherever. But there are people who have these attitudes, and they're just waiting. They feel that they can take the government down, they have a right to do it, and they feel like there's going to be a race war or a big fat conflict between people in their position and people who are not in their position or who they perceive to be not in their position. And, you know, that this is going to be all out. So,
Donald Trump,
you know,
in your view, does Donald Trump have a role in all of this?
Yes, ma'am.
And,
Okay. Yes, ma'am, because...
Using yesterday...
I'm sorry?
Can you tell us what you... Using what unfolded yesterday, could you give us an idea from your perspective as to what that role might have been?
Well, he's like a puppeteer. You know, the one that holds the strings, that dances the puppet, and the people are, you know, no disrespect, because I don't know who's in the audience, but he dances and he pulls those strings. He knows what buttons to press to get people to react. And like a puppeteer, you can't see him. He's there. You might have heard what he said, and he puts his words in such a way to exhort people to do things, but he left the scene. If you were really down, you would stay there. He's the president, but he's not going to stand there with them. I'm not saying that they're right in the first place, but he will manipulate people. And if there's such a book as The Political Mind, where you learn what emotional buttons to press to get people to do things that they shouldn't do, and to actually put them up to being shot, then he's that type of person to manipulate them. And I also believe that many of those people who are out there probably knew that they were going to be able to get pretty far inside, because their friends are on the other side. They are aware, I believe, that these the other people that are down with their cause is in on the job. But see, there's cameras everywhere, and perhaps now it will be found more so, because many of them probably don't believe in masks, or many of them will be recognizable anyway. But to answer your question, I believe that number 45 is a manipulative person, and he knows how to push the buttons, and people are frustrated and angry, and these people are probably on hair trigger through training and through whatever beliefs they believe. One thing Malcolm X did say, he talked about how the media can get people to believe and love one set of people, one era, and get them to forget about that era where they love these people and then hate them in another era. I think he said the Russians and the Chinese were loved in one era, and then they were hated in the era. And then we seem to have, you know, like an amnesia kind of thing, probably through our living experience, where we don't remember where we stood, quote-unquote, yesterday. And I believe number 45 can play on that. And I recall when 45 wasn't the president, and he said those five Central Park boys need to be put away and killed and everything. And he wasn't even a politician, much less had those boys even been convicted of anything. But, yeah, I agree. He was trying to get a groundswell. And where the public can believe things, not necessarily without checking, unfortunately. I think that's where we mess up. And we don't necessarily know the full objectives and dictates of the quote-unquote other side. I'm trying to look at it and find out who these people are.
Well,
and where
you.
Are they? And what are they going to
so
do
much.
Next?
Thank you so much for contributing today. Thank you, G. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Good afternoon.
I think we're being manipulated again. You know, a lot of people that listen to your show and the station, we're in our 60s. We were born in the 50s. And we all should be able to remember what went on in 1967, 1968, with the election that was going on with Nixon and Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy, Robert Kennedy. Martin Luther King was still having protests going on. And in one of the protests, there was a group of black men that joined the peaceful protest, and they were part of FBI. And they took the sticks that were attached to the signs, took the signs off, and used the sticks to break windows and caused the police to go crazy with their nightsticks and start hurting everybody. And Martin Luther King had to be physically picked up by his members of that were around him and put into a car and driven away from this protest because of these men that joined in. They were like agent provocateurs, you know? And this, if people don't remember, they can watch it on YouTube. I watched a documentary last night of how Mayor Daley in Chicago set the police on people, white and black, college students that were peacefully protesting, were beaten, pummeled with nightsticks. If you watch it, it was 55 minutes. I watched the 1967. It's just horrendous of how things were handled. And if that...
Let me ask you. How does this relate to what happened yesterday?
Because we see something, we're not sure. You don't know what's really going on. You have to give it a few days to see how this is going to work out, all right? And before we come to our assumptions of this and that, you don't know who is. I saw a crowd walking up steps, walking through the building. I didn't see people trying to break things and going crazy with fires and breaking windows. You know, they said that was going on, but I wasn't seeing any of that. But from the footage that I was seeing from the news yesterday. And the reaction that you have.
If you didn't see it, it didn't happen?
I saw what happened. I saw people walking through the Capitol. If they didn't want that to happen, you can bet everything you got that they would have been stopped. If they didn't want that to happen, I'm saying it's a manipulation. They wanted those people to be able to do that so they could use this to drill up the people into this frenzy now that you and the rest of the callers all want to put Donald Trump in prison, all right? I didn't see Donald Trump do anything.
Well, he doesn't have to be there to do anything. His role was very different.
I mean, he's unhappy. He's played this part for 4 years. Do we expect him to just say, congratulations, Mr. Biden, you're the new president. Let me welcome you to the White House. Remember when he was getting signed in and he went inside and he came out and he looked upset and he whispered something to Melania? Maybe they told him, you're going to have the worst 4 years of your life. We're going to be on you, and you're not going to be able to have any kind from day one, we're going to have you being investigated by the FBI. We're going to be putting impeachments on you. And this is what I saw for 4 years. And I'm not a Trump supporter, all right? Like me and Lincoln
time,
and other people have to say.
Yes, these things happened to Donald Trump, but it's not because he didn't deserve it. Hold on.
Okay.
This is the president of the United States. He's not an ordinary citizen when you're president of the United States. You are to be held to a very different standard, whether you like it or not.
Right.
This president has on many occasions been very aberrant in his behavior, and he doesn't care what kind of consequences are left in his wake for other people to deal with. And he's gotten away with bad behavior, really bad and unprincipled behavior, for most of his life. So I say also, you're a big man. You're a grown man. You're the president. What is all the complaining about? You know what comes with the territory.
Hello?
To the territory. So why?
Yeah,
why should you be extra upset because people are protesting against you? What's that?
Or even protesting
in behalf of you.
I understand what you're saying, Yatrice, but it's not like people didn't know about Donald Trump before he was deciding to run for president. I didn't see people come out in the streets and protest that these are not the candidates that we want to run for president. These are not satisfactory people. This is not the way elections should be run, where a man who nobody likes can be running for president in the Republican Party, and a woman that nobody likes can be running for president in the Democrat. This is a manipulation. Donald Trump is a construct that was being constructed for 12 years with his TV show and all his appearances in the wrestling ring. He's just like a wrestler who came to rescue these people and defeat the bad guy. And then he became the bad guy. And now he's getting defeated by the new champion, Biden, who nobody liked for all these years. And now all of a sudden we're so glad to have him.
Yeah, because...
And it's a manipulation.
Whether it's a manipulation or... We have to contend with. And you just can't wake up and decide, well, I choose to disregard the last 20 years and start now with my own approach. And that will be the record. No, you can't do that. It just can't do that. But we've run out of time. Thank you, E, for contributing. Thank you all for contributing.
Thank you.
Because it was interesting listening to your thoughts and your analyses. And I thank you for that, because you opened up to let us know what was going on in your head, which is really extremely precious these days. Thanks. Let's meet again tomorrow to talk some more. Bye-bye.